Speaking of movies, we have our dear friend Paul Preston on the phone, who we love. The man, the myth, the legend, the man we call friend, the movie master.
Man, they rate NC-17.
Nice.
We've got Paul Preston from the Movie Guys.
Hey-o.
How are you, brother?
What's up, gang? Yeah, I believe you get one F-bomb per PG-13.
Mm. Ah, that's what it
and
is.
And then, as you're saying, the sex and violence is kind of nebulous. I mean, who knows? Really, like, they don't have, I think, written structure for how to monitor all that. So you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah. Well, buddy,
if you throw in a second F-bomb, you're an R. And then, you know, your audience is diminishing and the number of people who can see your thing. So, yeah, it's always a big deal when, like, an R-rated movie becomes a huge hit because, you know, you've taken out a lot of the population being able to see it. And then if your movie becomes R, then, you know, they do what they can to cut it down. Yeah. People are trying to make Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness rated R.
Really?
Because it's scary for kids, but please, come
down. Wow, wow. Real quick, Paul, how have you been, buddy?
All's well. Just went to Colorado for my niece's wedding. Yes, I have a niece who got married. I have a niece who has 3 kids.
Oh, my gosh. And now she just got married, or?
No, oh, that's another niece. Oh, okay. All my nieces are getting married. I'm old. There you go. That's how I'm doing.
Well, I know,
but, you know, as ever, took the time in Colorado to have some fun. Went to Meow Wolf in Denver. I don't know if you know what Meow Wolf is, but there's one in Vegas as well. This huge art installation that you could walk around in, and it's like 70 different rooms that artists have just gone sort of berserk on. That has a real thin theme about memories and the future and all that, but it's partially interactive, and that was really cool. I've already signed up to do the one in Vegas later this month.
Nice.
So that's cool. Yeah, do that. And then, of course, the usual hikes out in the wilderness.
Real quick, I saw something that you posted. You got something coming up for Karen for her foundation?
Yes. My late wife, Karen Volpe Preston, I established a scholarship in her name because she came from Western New York, and if you are in Western New York, you need that nudge to pursue the creative arts. And I'm hoping a scholarship will do it. We've given out 2 of them so far. We're doing this event on May 17th to raise more money and keep filling the coffers of that scholarship, because it's the type of fund where the more money it's in it, the more you can give away. Yeah, so May 17th at the Loft Ensemble in North Hollywood. You wanted to see a ton of comics, people who work with Karen and loved her, and including the 2 Boubé sisters.
Oh, awesome.
The Boubé sisters trio that Karen was a part of for a long time are reuniting to do some songs and remember her as well.
Well, let's talk movies, my friend. First one you set up first is Doctor Strange. How is this one looking?
Oh, it's great, man. Doubt Marvel at your own peril.
Yep.
You know? Exactly. This is a great movie. And it's interesting because they set up so much with Spider-Man No Way Home in terms of the multiverse. Mm-hmm. And you'd think maybe that this movie would play directly into what Doctor Strange did there to sort of, you know, help Peter Parker at the end of the film. But actually kind of ties into a whole bunch of Marvel stuff, including WandaVision. You saw that.
Yeah.
Wanda is in this film as well. And, man, it's a great ride. And I'm seeing a lot of mixed reactions on it, and I think people may not be getting what I had my eyes open to after I saw the film. And this is my girlfriend, Susan. She has this way of just, like, pointing out something in a movie that I'll be like, yeah, wow. You know, like, I'll go on for, like, a half hour. She'll say one thing. It'll be, like, the most incisive thing that you could come up with, and I'm always super impressed. And her thing here was a line that's said in the film between Strange and Wong. Are you happy? And I think that's what the whole exploration of the multiverse is. Sure, there's dangers going in and out of one multiverse. There's a new character who can jump between universes, and so people are chasing her through there. And, you know, and of course, the idea that you might be taking for granted what a movie can do. You know, right. If you're like, yeah, that was okay. Okay, did you see what they did? Like, the movie, like, you just probably take it for granted. Oh, yeah, they jumped around universes and the whole world they're standing is shattered. And then it was like, yeah, they jumped through 5 different timelines at one point. Yeah, it's kind of amazing. Stop calling these comic book movies. They're not. They're deeper than you. Let it go.
I love it. All right, what's next, Paul?
Well, I'd love to talk about The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, this Nicolas Cage movie you might have heard of that finally put a movie of his back in the top 10 in a long time. because he's known for just going out and making these crap movies now. You know, he earned his Oscar. He toiled away in action for a while. And I don't know if he's got gambling debts or what, but it seems like he puts out three or four movies a year that you've never heard of, and most of them are crap. So someone had the idea to have him play himself in a movie. And the enjoyable part of that is he is more than happy to send up his persona, which is really fun. He tracks people down in restaurants and does a huge monologue for them. And it's hilarious. And but what I appreciated about this was not just the meta jokes about Cage being Cage. Well, let me set up what it's about real quick, because he hears about an opportunity down in Mexico where he could be brought in for an appearance at this rich guy's party, and what he doesn't know is that the guy's going to pitch a screenplay when he gets down there. And he's like, he's kind of tired of acting because of everything I mentioned before kind of wearing on him, and he's tired. And but what we find out of course is that this guy pitching the script is a criminal, big time criminal organization, the head of a criminal organization. So the CIA says, well, Nick Cage, you're already inside. We need you to go in there and find out what's going on with this guy. So Nick Cage plays Nick Cage in a Nick Cage movie, being Super Nick Cage, which is great, right? Okay. So that's tons of fun. And what was great about it was not just the meta jokes about Cage playing himself and setting up his persona, but actually I got wrapped up in the plot. I actually cared about the criminal guy, and because they have a great relationship. That's played by Pedro Pascal, too. I think you can get behind him in most things, right?
Yeah.
Except maybe Wonder Woman. But, you know, Mandalorian, Kingsman, he's great. But the other thing this movie did is it reminded me how great Nicolas Cage is. Now, 80s Nicolas Cage is my jam. You give me Birdie, Raising Arizona, Moonstruck, Racing with the Moon,
yeah.
Peggy Sue Got Married.
Oh, and yeah, great film.
Right? But in this movie, because he doesn't have to be insane or yell a lot or do dumb action sequences or be over the top, there's a lot of times we're just like, this guy's just charming. I like him. Well, be in a good movie. So like, I want him to be in a good movie now, even if it's not, you know, something where he gets to pal around with Pedro Pascal. And that's what they do. The majority of his movies, they just sit around and be chummy, which is fun. But man, I'd like to see Nick Cage in something like Uncut Gems or Nightcrawler. Or what would his take on Abby Hoffman being Trial of the Chicago 7?
Oh,
you know,
oh,
or
yeah.
He even goes so far as to say Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Now, I think that's one of my favorite movies of the last 10 years. You don't touch it. But if you were going to.
Right.
It'd be fun, right? Because now that I see this movie and I see Cage has still got it, he's not relegated to these crap movies because he's bad. You know, and you know, if you look at something like Pig, of course, which came out last year, and everyone was rooting for him to get an Oscar nomination, he's great in that. But then he'll follow it up with something bad. So I'd like to see him pare down
his career
to just the great stuff, and I hope people start offering it to him again, especially after this, when you see how much fun we could have in a Nick Cage movie again.
All right. And the last movie that we've got here, Paul?
Well, what have you guys seen? I'll talk about either The Northman, X, or Ambulance.
Let's talk about Northman.
Northman. Okay, so this is Robert Eggers. If you know this director, he made The Lighthouse, which was batshit crazy. And he made The Witch, which brought us Anya Taylor-Joy into the mainstream and was a really sort of dark and thematic story of a witch in the colonial times. Well, now he's decided to take on a Viking revenge tale, because I guess he's not going to do a story about a guy who mixes his wallet up with somebody else and have wacky adventures. You know, like this is what he does. But overall, it's a pretty standard revenge tale. In fact, it's actually Hamlet to a point, where the lead character's name is Amleth. So you're like, okay, I got it. Yeah, it's Hamlet. The father is, or the uncle kills the father and everything's bad. So if you're going to take something that's kind of familiar, go cinematic as hell. And that's what this guy does. You know, and there are a lot of films like that lately. Familiar, but what can you bring to it? And I think maybe that's at the point we're at with movies. It's like, look, we've done this 100 times. What can I bring to it? And this guy brings an insane visual style. A myriad of good actors. Alexander Skarsgård, the lead, underplays everything extremely well. And Anya Taylor-Joy continues to be great. in movies. Willem Dafoe is in it. And you add him to a movie, it's automatically better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's just bloody, violent, muddy, just a nasty movie. Like, this is the R you guys are talking about. Right on the, this is an R-rated movie for, and it's adult. You know, there's no jokey nonsense. You know, so if you just want to see like a serious, well, there's a couple of jokey things, but it's weird. It's like, there's one scene where a young boy is like burping and farting and they're all proud of him because he's becoming a man. This movie is all about what it means to be a man in like medieval times. Wow. And,
any alternate universes, any psychic powers?
Exactly.
Starship Enterprise, any of that?
No quantum realm. No, he's just, they killed my dad, and now I'm going to grab an axe and kill everybody and then you. And, to tell you the final scene of this movie, like where it ends up, I'm not going to, but when you get there, you'll be like, how did we get to, like, what? You know, like, Shang-Chi, if you saw Shang-Chi in a smaller, version of that, my friend Adam likes to say that about Marvel movies. Yeah, it's a whole bunch of people talking about crime lords and stuff, and then someone's flying a dragon. So,
wow.
He wants to kill his dad, and then suddenly this, which the movie just goes nuts and doubles down on a final volcanic action sequence that's just like bonkers.
Wow.
The downside, can't watch Nicole Kidman anymore. Anyway, too much work. I want to be shallow, but I can't look at her face. It's hard.
Wow.
It's hard. I have trouble. There's one point in the movie where she screams. It's a shame because she delivers such a great monologue. And she screams, looks like her skin's going to fall off. It's hard. Anyway, heartbreak feels good in a place like this.
All right. And real quick, though, how are the musical numbers in it?
Oh, in The Northman?
Yeah.
Actually, there are some. Yeah, I don't know if anybody has understood you're joking. But,
it was.
It's so manly. At one point, they all put on like wolf hides and they march around a fire going, "Hey, out!" and screaming and yelling. And doing. So it's kind of a musical number. Yeah, it's not exactly a Broadway melody from Singing in the Rain, but it's something.
Well, it's the Viking version of I Don't Know, But I've Been Told, right? There you go.
Yeah. That or they're going, men.
Many men.
Yeah. So throw your rubbers overboard. There's no one here but men. Anyway, Paul, thank you so much, brother, as always, giving us insight on all these wonderful movies. I can't wait to go see some of these, too, myself. Actually, I want to go see the Nick Cage one. So, because I do love Nick Cage sometimes, whether it's bad or it's good. I just love his acting style overall.
I always love him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't care if it's Ghost Rider or if it's The Rock or whatever, or Con Air. I'll stop and watch him for a little bit because I just think he's good, overall, and I really enjoy his acting. So.
Well, then I'm proud to say that, or happy to tell you, I'm so proud, like I made it. I'm happy to tell you.
Well, you told us about it, so, hey.
Yeah, this is one of his finer efforts as of late. So,
Cool.
He said that and Pig. You should check out Pig as well, which is interesting. And basically, that one, I think you should see everything in the big screen, but it's good to know that, sort of with a calmed down pandemic, I still wear a mask, vaccinated, all that stuff. Northman and Doctor Strange are movie theater movies, big time.
So. Awesome. Can't wait to go see him, Paul, and can't wait to talk to you again, my friend. And
right on.
I was going to say, also, don't forget, too, May 17th, where's it going to be at, Paul?
The Lost Ensemble. There's a big intersection in North Hollywood with Camarillo, Vineland, and Lancashire, and it's right in that intersection there.
$15. You're going to go see some best comics here in Los Angeles, and all of it goes to charity to help funding for the Karen Volpe Foundation, which helps young women get out of town and pursue their career in Hollywood as young starlets as they are. So definitely go help us out.
I don't want to disparage where Karen came from, but that's not inaccurate that we're helping them get out of there.
Exactly. We're helping them. You need to leave. You need to leave, and get going. Yeah, exactly.
For what you want, opportunities are elsewhere. Happy to help.
Yeah, exactly. All right, brother. We will talk to you next time, my friend.
Farewell, gang.
All right, farewell, buddy. Take care.